You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on!
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
Dude!
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you here. You've made it this far. We might as well keep going because Friday is just around the corner. But even more importantly, as Greg would attest to, Thursday is around the corner, and Thursday is a wonderful day too. But let's rejoice in Wednesday because it's the eve of Thursday. You see how I connected all those dots, Greg?
Yes, and you should always be glad it's Tuesday because it's not Monday.
Okay, so basically every day is truly a holiday. Mm-hmm. I am Pete Schwabe coming to you live from Northeast Wisconsin and joined as always by Greg Bach, who comes to you live from Southeast Wisconsin, just down the coast, the third coast, as it were. And Dom Lee is in Madison producing the show and working the board and joining us for our usual tomfoolery and great conversation. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm not doing too bad. It's a great day. I'm actually really happy about this day. It's hump day. Wow. I just finished my Taco Tuesday yesterday, and I'm having some chicken at home. It's a great day, guys. It's a great day.
Boy, you are easily amused, Dom. I love that. That will carry you far in life. That simple. That's fantastic.
Chippy. Yeah.
How was Taco Tuesday? Was your roommate? Did he come over? Your former roommate, I should say.
Former roommate. No, it was just me. I made tacos all by my lonesome. But sometimes that made it better because I had all the tacos to myself, and I can change it the way I want. Turned out really good. So.
There were like 10 book titles in there. I love them all. Tacos by myself.
I can have all the tacos to myself.
It's really good.
Come over for sad tacos.
Well, that's the thing is that there's a lot of folks out there who could, like, you know, sit at their windowsill as the rain drops down on the glass, right. Just eating their tacos. Like, I don't have any. But you're like, no, man. I'm here by myself. I got all the tacos to myself. It's great.
That's how you taco.
Not a big sure. Are you enjoying the new place?
It's really good. I'm starting to fully move in. I did go to the Restore to get a coffee table, and I got a coffee table, and it was cheap. It was nice. So thank you for the tip there. I didn't have to go to IKEA or anything like that. Really good.
Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah,
that's good awesome, dude. How about you, Greg? Did you have a good day?
It's a fine day. You know, another no exciting one. You know, just living life, doing my thing. Nothing big to report, but, you know, that's half the fun of being alive, if you ask me. Because, you know, I'll take a humdrum day over walking in here going, I'm just you know. Yep. So
humdrum is so much better than those days packed with drama where you can't even keep up. I totally agree.
I'll take a humdrum or a good drum. A bad drum, no thank you.
Right, exactly. Well, we've got a good show tonight. I tried to make here's the mistake I make. Where I live here in Christmas City, USA, I sometimes will try to exercise. I'll get a little walk in while I make calls. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do that because here in Christmas City, everyone has a dog that knows how to bark whenever Pete is on the phone. And I have a neighbor who has a dog that just like kind of howls. It's like, oh, sounds like he's dying. And every time I get to that house on my lap, I try to go, I'm like, okay, I think I can make a business call here. I'll call someone today. This guy goes, where the hell are you? Like, I was like in a dog graveyard or something.
But in Christmas City, USA, buddy.
Yeah. We've got charismatic, quirky dogs here, but it's always something though. It's a leaf blower, a lawnmower. Mm-hmm. This people where I live love their toys and their all this kind of stuff. So it's always an adventure. But you know,
my dog gets like exercise. She gets very animated when people are outside, and I always say the same thing to her when I'm like, "What's going on out there?" And I look, I'm like, "Oh, just people living their lives, honey. There you go. You don't have to be so upset about these things." But she's a dog, and that's what she does. And you know, but
and she accepts that answer.
Oh no, she keeps barking as I am as I'm trying to talk to her. She's barking as if the 3-year-old across the street playing with the rubber ball is going to come into the home and somehow snatch her away. I think that's what my dog thinks. But yeah, I still love her very much and I miss her right now and I can't wait to get home and give her scratches. Give her all the scratches. Sorry.
That was unsettling. Sweet, very sweet, Greg. You're a great dog parent. I can tell that because you, the two things I know, Dom, and back me up in this, Greg is a guy who is in orbit around his wife, which is very nice, and loves his dog. And that says a lot about a man.
Both true. Yeah. Both true. Yes.
I'm just such a good man. My gosh, you know. Oh, man. Oh, amazing.
Just shoot me some ideas how we can bring back, back down to earth. I was just trying to be
nice. I'll text you privately.
I'm really good. I'm like,
you're a wonderful guy.
I'm like an inspiration to kids. Like be like Greg. like be like Mike. Pff, whatever. Give me my own shoe. What are we talking about? I'm sorry, I drifted off there.
He cuts hair. He talks poli sci. He's a comedian. He does it all. He's a Renaissance radio man. Oh wow! I hope we build. I like to build people up. It's fun. It makes me feel good about myself.
Wonderful!
We have a great show tonight, guys.
Yeah, what's going on tonight? What are we doing?
Well, it's funny you should ask because at 5:35 after the news at the bottom of the hour, we have one of our favorites here at Civic Media. He is a 21-time Milwaukee Press Club Award winner. Mm-hmm. He founded the Recombobulation Area, and he does he was voted best columnist in the state, I believe, recently. Dan Schaefer will be here at 5:35.
Fantastic.
We're going to talk about the governor's race in the Democratic field, and maybe we'll dabble in the Republican field, if there is a field. Dan will set us straight and tell us what's up, and it is always fun to talk to our pal, Dan Schaefer. So join us at 5:35. And then it's kind of like fun news guy night here because both these guys are in the news racket and they both have personalities and are fun to talk to. Our pal Emerson Lehman, who is a regular on Nightlight, will join us from Green Bay over the stream. He is the host of Action 2 News this morning on WBAY in Green Bay.
So cool. Action News.
Action News. That's right. And there's never a dull moment. And Emerson is also an avid pickleball player. Yes. And not just like he likes to play pickleball. He's really good at it. He's like ranked in the state.
Oh,
and he's had a fast ascent, Dom. So this is a guy you want to cozy up to, not in a weird way, but just pick his brain a little bit if you get a chance. He was pickle all about
his,
racing.
Pickle his brain.
Pickle his brain. But he was all about racing when I met him because he used to race cars and he's a big racing fan. Pickleball has taken over his life. Since that first meeting, most of our chats have been about news, small towns, Wisconsin, pickleball. He's a really fun guest. Looking forward to having him on here at 6:20 in hour number two. And also, folks, just a reminder that the Nightlight Movie Club is in full swing. And we are, this week will be no different. In hour number two on Thursday, we will be talking about the movie. Dom, you want to do the honors?
Yeah, it is.
Have to do the drum. More timpanis. Are we blowing our budget on timpanis?
I think we are. It is National Lampoon Vacation. Yes, that is the movie.
All right, sweet.
I'm very excited.
I love it.
Yes.
National Lampoon's Vacation, not to be confused with somebody else's vacation.
True.
This is Vacation. National
Not Vacation. To be confused with the remake, which I think is just Vacation.
Vacation. The Ed Helms, the Helmsian version.
That's funny.
I really like that that timpani. Do we have a timpani budget? I don't want to have to dip into petty cash. I just want to come in under budget. So, Dom, easy on the timpanis if you think it's costing us money.
Oh, Dom!
Okay. Oh, okay. No
what
more.
What are we doing?
Sorry, I'll be
privilege.
Done.
What do we have? A DOJ slush fund that's going to bail us out here if we spend too much on timpanis? What the what? H?
That's very good. Very good.
Well, thank you, Greg.
Very good. Very good.
Like you're not just saying that because I said you were a great husband and dog parent and comedian and all that other stuff.
Not in spite nor because, you know, it's just part of my good nature, who I am as a human being. I was like a glowing example on how to be wonderful. That's who I am. And
I am
modesty,
write,
too. I'm very modest.
I'm going to write a Greg song. And at some point, I'll unleash it. Dom will do timpanis. Maybe we'll even add other instruments and make it an actual song.
I would humbly request a song that would be written about me, but which, by the way, it's about time.
That's not really humble if you're asking us to write.
Oh, no,
a song
I'm just asking that it's all timpani.
Okay,
just 100%. No guitar, no bass, no synthesizers, no any of that junk. I just want all timpani. And how you frame that and tune that up—that's your problem, not mine. But that's my request. So
we've got a that'll be interesting because of the budget. Right,
we can.
Not my problem.
We'll have to get it approved.
I mean, he just hit the timpani again. So the fact that sorry.
Dom is great at spending other people's timpani money.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes time to pay the check, where do you think Dom Lee is going to be putting
Jimmy
in his
Jones.
Application?
You're going to say
putting in his application. Jimmy Jones. We just got a text from Troy from Mount Horeb, who sent us an article about, speaking of stand-up comedy, an NFL player who did stand-up comedy. So we'll have to, maybe we'll dig into that. But speaking of the NFL, there is breaking news, guys. Aaron Rodgers says this is it. Do you believe him?
Aaron who?
I think his last name is Rodgers, but with a D. He managed to wedge a D in there.
No.
He says this will be his last NFL season, fellas.
Who does he play? He plays for the Steelers, right? And that's actually a serious question. I can't remember it anymore.
It is. He's on the Steelers. Mike McCarthy is now the coach, so he'll be reunited apparently with Mike McCarthy. I know.
Wow.
Who I kind of like. I thought he got a bad rap.
Is this like a reboot? Is this, what is this?
I know. Talk about limping into the sunset.
My goodness gracious.
But he says this is it. We'll see if he, now when he's weird, it'll just be a weird guy. It's not eccentric because he's not in the NFL anymore.
But he'll still have that platform where it's former NFL quarterback and a most likely Hall of Famer, Aaron Rodgers. The world isn't just flat. It's like super flat.
Weigh in, folks. What do you think about this retirement? As you know, the phone lines are always open here. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And with that in mind, let's get to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What summer food are you looking forward to most? That is tonight's question, folks. It's barbecue season. It's really upon us, even though it's not technically summer yet. But what summer food are you most looking forward to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the Civic Media app, or if you're watching the radio on Facebook, YouTube, or X Twitter, you can drop us a stream comment and be part of the fun. It's always more fun when you guys participate. So,
Hey, Pete, you know how people love to be nostalgic and they love to think about the good old days and, you know, like days of yore gone by, all that kind of stuff? Well, very own Tom Tiffany, United States congressman here from Wisconsin running for governor, is also going back to the years of 2020 where he is still not he's still not confident in whether or not there was any shenanigans in the 2020 presidential election. And he feels that the FBI investigating Wisconsin is something that needs to happen because we need to find out. Well, you know, we just got to find out what happened. Got to find out what happened there, Pete. What happened?
It's such lip service. It's like, hey, I'm still on this. But he knows. He knows. Like, as Tom Barrett, former Milwaukee mayor, said, and he's part of a bipartisan group with former Wisconsin Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. They recently, they're part of this Democracy Defense Project, not a bipartisan, not multi-state initiative to build trust in the country's election system. Barrett says in the 2020 election has been litigated and relitigated. And you guessed it, relitigated over and over again, and nothing has changed. And those are when the case has been brought in front of Trump-appointed judges. There was nothing. This is ridiculous.
Well, my favorite part here in this story that we got from the Wisconsin Examiner says, whatever they're searching for, the investigation should be allowed to continue. And let's find out what happened there. Tom, they found out. We're over this. Let us move on. And keep telling the people that you want the job, the guy who doesn't believe the election was the election, and a guy who also was protecting Donald Trump, who's done many bad things, but we can't get into that right now. But yeah, let's move on from 2020.
We're ahead of the game. We already haven't found anything, so there's no reason to continue.
I just looked right now. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing burger, as they say. That's my favorite summer food, by the way. All right, this is Nightlight with Peach Baba and Greg Bach.
Wow.
Oh, I went back to the back. After I spent most of this segment building them up. All right, we're coming right back, folks, on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach, coming to you live on the Civic Media Network. It is great to have you with us, folks, on this Wednesday night in sunny, beautiful Wisconsin. I'm going out on a limb and saying it's sunny and beautiful everywhere, even though I only live in part of the state. That's how it works. But it is a gorgeous night here, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. Our question of the night is, what summer food are you looking forward to most?
Yeah.
Barbecue season is upon us. Everybody loves a summer barbecue. So what food are you most looking forward to? And it doesn't have to be a barbecue. It could be a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, Greg, frankly. Whatever you like to eat in the summer. There are no right or wrong answers.
Wow.
We like to be inclusive here. Our guest tonight, Dan Schaefer, will be with us after the news at the bottom of the hour. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area, and we all need recombobulating every once in a while, and Dan will set us straight tonight. And then our pal Emerson Lehman from WBAY-TV in Green Bay will be here in hour number two. Lots of fun tonight, our fun news night here.
Very, very fun news night. Yeah. You mentioned this before, the big slush fund that we discussed yesterday.
Yeah.
And according to an ABC News story, two officers who defended the Capitol on January 6th are suing to stop Trump's anti-weaponization fund, which is the $1.776 billion slush fund that is going to be paying out folks who feel like they have been wrongly harassed, convicted, jailed, all that stuff. Basically, it's anybody who likes Trump and people who, you know, who are either not in jail again or still alive from the January 6th insurrection where a bunch of traitors stormed the Capitol. And I always forget about this part. They urinated and smeared feces on the wall. So
classy.
That's great. But these two officers are two of the most vocal, because they were very much highlighted during after this happened. Harry Dunn and Daniel Hodges were both filed a lawsuit saying that this is unconstitutional. It prevents it basically goes against everything that, like, the president's not supposed to be setting things up like this, and also we should not be paying these individuals the money. Like, it basically is just saying this is a slush fund. This is to simply get money in his supporters' pockets, as he said, loyalty over the law. And I'm really happy that this happened, because this slush fund, this money should not be paid out to anybody personally. I just, you know, it's reprehensible yet not surprising.
Picture yourself as Harry Dunn and Daniel Hodges. Mm-hmm. The day people storm the Capitol, you hold your ground. You're mm-hmm. trying to defend the people's house, so to speak.
Yep.
And this happens to you. One of them gets crushed. They both get injuries. And they're watching the people that did that get compensated by the president. Mm-hmm. How do you they must be like, in a million years, I never could have saw something like this happening. Well, so it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, and how about this, too? That guy that had the buffalo hat on or whatever, the goofy, I forget mm-hmm. his goofy nickname. Oh,
the January 6th shaman? Yeah, the mega shaman or whatever he's called.
The mega shaman. He bailed on Trump.
Yeah.
And now he's like probably going to go back because he could mm-hmm. pocket a cool mill. You never know.
Well, one of the guys here, Michael Caputo, it says here in the story, he served as he was a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services. He was targeted, more like he was investigated by the FBI regarding the Russia interference in the 2016 election. And he says, as survivors of the illegal Russiagate investigation, survivors, Pete, survivors.
Yep.
These two gentlemen who defended the Capitol and risked life and limb, those are survivors. Those are patriots. Correct. They at least deserve a sign on the wall of the Capitol, which, by the way, was voted on into law that it had to happen. That plaque has still not gone up. These two gentlemen are patriots. The folks who want to get this slush fund money are traitors. And I'll say it till the last day of my life. They are traitors and don't deserve anything.
And I can't even, like, even if you're on the other side of the aisle or you're partisan and you support Trump, you can't in your right mind say, well, these guys were bad. They should have let people go in there and done whatever they want and look for Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi or Josh Hawley or whoever. I just don't understand it. I don't know who would support or not support their lawsuit and the job they tried to do that day. It's absolutely insane.
What they do is they do something to the effect of like what Tom Tiffany is doing with the 2020 election denialism. He's like, well, we got to find out what's happening. We don't really,
right.
we don't know what really happened. Yes, you do. You were there. We watched you hide under your desks.
Yeah, exactly. So you might appreciate this, Greg. There was a Trump envoy. He was the Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry. he was handing out MAGA hats and merch and swag. Mm-hmm. This was in the New York Times. He was in Greenland and handed, and people didn't want him for the most part. Some people flipped him off. Most people didn't want them. I mean, that's a bad day.
Yeah. Well, my favorite part of that whole story, first of all, can we just stop with Greenland? Can we just stop with the Greenland thing? This is just ridiculous. But
even the movie.
My favorite part of the entire story. I sent this to us. I said we had to cover this. There was a Landry toured the town in the cold drizzle, offering free MAGA hats to Greenlandic children, which, by the way, it sounds really weird, Greenlandic children, only to be greeted with refusals. He attempted to sweeten his pitch by telling some kids that if they visited his Louisiana mansion, they could have, quote, all the chocolate chip cookies you can eat. Dude, you're just short of saying, get into my van. I've got candy. Yo, weirdo, weirdo, weirdo.
Let me see how creepy I can be.
Yeah.
I mean,
you want a hat? Party, you want some cookies?
Is your party of enough scrutiny
for that kind of stuff? Should you? Yes, Mr. Landry, should you be talking to children at all right now in this case? At all? No?
And here are the dangers of working with another comedian. You took my van line, Greg. I had the van line written right here. I'm glad we got it out there, though. You're absolutely right. It's just, it's awful. So, all right, folks, Dan Schaefer is coming up next. He is our pal, a multi-award. He's won so many
awards. He's had like 3,000 awards. This just in, Dan won another award for being so
a bigger
so
house.
Sweet. So sweet. Yeah. So very sweet.
He needs a huge, I was going to say van. Why would I go there? That's not cool. Dan is coming up next. He is outstanding. He is like a phenomenal journalist here and our civic media colleague. And we cannot wait to talk to him. As always, that's coming up after the news. This is Nightlife with Pete Schwabman and Greg Buck.
Welcome back to Nightlife with Pete Schwabman and Greg Buck here on the Civic Media Network. Get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we'll be having a great conversation with WBAY morning show anchor Emerson Lehman. That will be in the second hour. And from what I've been told, pickleball will be discussed. And then, of course, we wrap everything up with the nightcap here on the show. But right now, oh, by the way, the question of the night is, what summer food are you looking forward to most? Let us know. Call, text, leave a comment on the live stream. We'd love to hear from you. But let us now welcome our first guest of the evening. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area, the 21-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication. Yeah, I'm reading all that because I want to make sure everyone knows how award-winning he is. Mr. Dan Schaefer is here today. He's also our civic media colleague and our friend. Good afternoon slash evening, Dan. How are you doing?
Hello there, fellas. Happy to be here. Good to see you all. Excited to recombobulate here on Nightlight.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, first of all, congratulations on your the awards you won at the last awards ceremony. It kicked you up to 21, correct?
21 for the publication, including gold for Emily Mills, one of our contributors. Very excited for them and very excited for these honors from the Milwaukee Press Club. 6 years in a row now that we've got an award there. 5 years in a row with gold. So pretty exciting.
Wow. Nice.
And we're actually going to be talking about Emily's article in a little while. But right now we're going to focus on an article that you wrote about a week and a half ago. Actually, about a week or so ago. Key retirements and poor polling for Republicans suggest assembly majority is in play for the Democrats. You have been talking about this for a while. We have been talking, you and I have been talking elections what seems like forever. But like specifically the 2026 election has been big in your mind, specifically for the fact that, as you reported and as we're seeing over and over again, longtime Republicans are just saying, thanks, but no thanks. Peace out. I'm done for now. Thanks. Bye-bye. And that's it. And that's really kind of showing people where the opinion is on their party's politics, but also how they don't feel like they can probably make it through a general election in fall.
Yeah, I think there was one retirement that really caught my eye over the last few weeks here and kind of prompted me to write this piece and dig into it a little bit further. And that was from Republican State Representative Jesse Rodriguez. And she has been in the legislature since 2013. She's a member of the Joint Finance Committee, has a good reputation as being, you know, one of the saner members of the Republican State Assembly. We could talk about how that comparison might break down. But I think, you know, the fact that she has consistently outrun the top of the ticket in her district, in District 21, which includes much of southeastern Milwaukee County, which includes cities like Oak Creek, South Milwaukee, Cudahy, the Milwaukee Airport. So like the literal place where you can go recombobulate is in her district at the moment. But she has, you know, even as Kamala Harris won in her district in a red wave year 2 years ago, she won pretty convincingly over a Democratic challenger. And I think she was, I want to say, 9 points ahead of the top of the ticket in in her district. And so somebody who's, you know, relatively young, who's, you know, been rising in the ranks in the state assembly, when somebody like that retires, I think that's when you really take note of the shifting political winds that are there in the assembly. And I think, you know, looking ahead to the fall general election, I think the state Senate has been looked at as the more likely chamber of the two for Democrats to have the opportunity to flip. With this is the first time a number of those state senators will be on the ballot under new maps. There have been more retirements in that chamber even. So I was kind of coming into this year thinking, okay, I think the Democrats can probably flip the Senate, but I think the assembly is still going to be a little bit tougher. I still I was saying, you know, because of how much incumbency matters in some of these down ballot races, I was saying Republicans are still probably the favorite to win in the assembly. I think that changed with just by this one retirement, because I think it is really showcasing a signal that's in the noise here of, you know, Jesse Rodriguez retiring, Dean Coffert in Nina retiring at the end of his term as well. A couple other folks, you know, in some of these swingier districts who are running for reelection. But also there is some polling that I got a chance to look at from Better Wisconsin Together that showed that a number of these you know, state representatives, you know, they do these polling against kind of generic Democrat, right? And they're all of them are behind. And even in districts, a couple districts that were won by Donald Trump in 2024, a lot of those state representatives are facing a pretty challenging polling environment right now. So I kind of in my big picture calculus that I'm forecasting out here, I went from like kind of a lean Republican environment for the assembly. Now I think it's a straight up toss up. I think it could really go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge news of what, 15 years.
Yeah. And yeah, Democrats have not controlled the state assembly since, I think, 2009, 2010, that session. And so I think this is a huge opportunity for Democrats. And they have a number of qualified candidates like this, you know, this race in particular that I highlighted in the 21st Assembly District. There's a couple candidates running, but the top Democrat in the district is Dan Bukiewicz, who is the mayor of Oak Creek and has been since 2018. He has pretty strong name ID there. He's also been the president of the Building and Constructions Trade Council for more than a decade. So a pretty well-known, you know, candidate as far as state assembly candidates will go. And now that he's not running against a, you know, overperforming incumbent state representative who's done really well over the years, it's a really good chance to pick that one up. So between that race and a handful of others, you know, I think that's five seats that Democrats need to pick up in order to win control of the assembly. And, you know, by some of these poll results show that, you know, a lot of people in many of these swing districts, Donald Trump's favorability rating is cratering in a lot of these places. A lot of people, you know, they're asked about whether the state legislature has done enough to address the affordability crisis. Most people say no. And so I think there's, you know, a number of factors, you know, kind of contributing to this overall challenging environment for Republicans.
That's the voice of Dan Schaefer. He is an award-winning, crazy award-winning journalist here at Civic Media and the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Dan, you say Trump's popularity is cratering. I still can't believe it's that high. Who's right? No, I'm kidding. So what do you attribute this kind of these issues with this upcoming election too? I mean, we've got Trump, who is not doing his party any favors, it seems like, especially in Wisconsin. Maybe he has more of an influence still in the South or Southeast, but here in Wisconsin, is it proactive Democrats and grassroots groundswell, that kind of thing? Is it Trump? Is it a combination of the two? To what do we owe this? Because you saying that the assembly is in play really truly blows my mind.
Well, I think it's, you know, it comes down to some of these swing districts that they took a look at. And there's the places, the Fox Valley is one of them. The city of Wausau in Marathon County, there's a district there that's really of interest. In the kind of like northwest part of Wisconsin, close to the kind of the district closest to the Twin Cities, the exurbs there. So these are where some of the most competitive races in the state are going to be. And I think, you know, you're seeing the fact that on the economy, you know, Trump was always had pretty strong poll numbers on the economy throughout his first term. And I think that's where he's really, really losing ground. I think, you know, the fact that, you know, inflation is still remaining relatively high. You've got gas prices going higher and higher. You know, I think a lot of the things that Trump had campaigned on, he hasn't really followed through on as in ways that people have wanted to see. And so I think the economy is really the issue that's driving this, because I think in prior polls that was really what was keeping Trump's numbers, you know, up to where they were. And, you know, they were never especially great, but I think the fact that they were, you know, still hovering around that 45% approval rating was through his economic numbers. And now a number of, and again, these are in swing districts, his favorability is below 40% in a few of them now. And so I think the economic numbers are really telling on this. And I think that's always going to be the number one issue that people vote on. And I think it's, it's on Democrats to make sure that, you know, that voters are connecting with what they have to say on these economic issues, too.
So we're talking about the election. We're talking about, there's going to be a nationwide election, but especially in Wisconsin, we've got a governor's race coming up, and it's the first time it's been an open seat for a long time. And the, you know, the Republicans have anointed their man, Tom Tiffany, congressman sitting there, Wisconsin congressman. And the Democratic field is quite big, and it got bigger because of the announcement of a businessman by the name of Kurt Bangstad. And I mean, I'll be perfectly honest, Dan, I was both unsurprised, but also very unhappy when I saw that he announced that he is going to be running for governor. And you had an amazing conversation with Emily Mills on your podcast about this and their article regarding this. And I love the title, "Alas, the Left Isn't Immune from Loud, Obnoxious Grifters." And that's something we talked about a lot on Matt and Aaron Air, you, me, and Jane, the fact that Eric Hovde and Tim Michaels came in and said, "Look, I'm a rich business guy, so this could be my job, right? It's my job, so I'm just going to take it because it's mine, right?" But what were your thoughts when you heard that he made his announcement?
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it was his announcement was coming off the heels of a controversy, too, and where he was had some pretty despicable things to say about, the incident that happened at the White House Correspondents Association dinner. And I don't want to repeat any of that, really. But I think the fact that it was coming on the heels of that, and it's just, Bangstad seems to embody the worst characteristics of the caricature of the unhinged kind of blue anon liberal who is just like out there and on the fringe and saying outlandish things and trying to get attention and trying to inject himself into every possible issue that he can. You know, I saw a story today that he was stumbling back and forth about like what he was doing in response to what was going on in Watertown with the
the symphony.
The symphony song that was being played there, he just kind of waded into that issue. Like, thanks, Kirk. Great. I'm sure they all wanted you to be a part of that. And I think it is just I think by association, by even the vaguest association, he drags everybody on the left down because of it. And I think, you know, for one, just much like Trump, he is good at getting attention. He's not particularly good at providing any meaningful results on anything else.
We have about a minute, Dan, before we have to do a break, and then we'll come back with more from Dan Schaefer. But given that you made that comparison, not so subtly, to Donald Trump, does the fact that he kind of is portraying himself as an outsider, Bangstad I'm talking about, and he's got some money apparently, and he's anti-establishment, so to speak, does that help him in Wisconsin against more rank-and-file Democrats?
No, I think there are 7 qualified Democrats in this field. I'm interested to see what they all are going to have to say, you know, over the next 80 or so days here before the August 11th primary. I don't think Bangstad counts himself as a qualified candidate here.
Mm, But he is definitely one of the loudest, so that's always something to be said. So we're going to be talking more with Dan Schaefer on the other side of the break, so don't go anywhere. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a now 21-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column. So we'll be talking more about the election and an article that he will be publishing, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll get a preview of that. So don't go anywhere. We're coming back in a couple minutes. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Stay tuned and stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead after the 6 o'clock news, we'll be talking about your text, your thoughts on tonight's question. What summer food are you most looking forward to? Let us know. Drop a comment on the live stream. Give us a call. Give us a text. We'd love to hear from you. And this call conversation will eventually make me very, very hungry. But speaking of amazing things to do right now, we are having a great conversation with our guest, Mr. Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and civic media colleague and friend. We're talking about the election. We're talking about the ever-widening field on the Democratic side. But Dan, you said you have a new piece that's going to be coming out, I believe, tomorrow that you wanted to give us a preview. Let us know what's going to be coming out.
Well, I haven't told many people that this is coming yet, but I wanted to share with the Nightlight with Pete and Greg listeners that I have a big piece that I've been working on for quite some time that I'm planning to publish tomorrow. It is a longer feature story on one of the candidates running for governor, and that candidate is Francesca Hong. And I think she's running a fascinating campaign, and I wanted to learn a little bit more about what was going on with it. So I spent some time interviewing Ms. Hong, and I am excited to publish it and for folks to have an opportunity to learn more about this campaign, because I think one of the things that I really wanted to get into with it is that, you know, there are a lot of narratives, a lot of talk about this campaign, and I think that it was a good opportunity to kind of slice through some of the noise and get to what's really happening here.
That's great. I can't wait to read that. Dan, you were pretty vocal about the possibility of Governor Evers not running again. You thought we needed a youth infusion, and I agreed with you on paper, but I was also like, oh my gosh, what if, you know, nobody from the Democratic side wins, or we get a crazy in there or something. And Tony Evers, I hosted a forum with him up here in Marinette years ago, and I thought, this guy's never going to win. He was still running. My wife's a teacher. I wanted to like him a lot, and I did, but I'm like, he's so quiet. And as it turns out, he's been a really effective governor. What will you miss most about his governing style, and who most exemplifies it, if you have an opinion on that, in the Democratic field for the gubernatorial race?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the best things about Governor Evers is that he's been great at playing defense. And I think his veto pen has been extremely important to democracy in Wisconsin and really throughout the country. And I think there has been, you know, a lot that he's done to prevent some of the worst impulses from the Republican-controlled state legislature from passing. And so I think he's been a terrific goalie for the state of Wisconsin in a lot of ways. Great. But I think one of the challenges is that, you know, when we have divided government, he hasn't always had an opportunity to advance, you know, what the policies that he's wanted to pass. Like, he has signed 4 Republican budgets in his 8 years in office. And so I think that's been a bit of a challenge, but I think overall, you know, I think he even said this after he was reelected. He said boring wins in Wisconsin. And I do think there is something to that, where people like the sane, stable, reliable leadership of a, you know, longtime public servant like Tony Evers. But again, like you referred to, I did write last year that I think he should pass the torch. I'm glad he did. I think it's time for somebody new. And I think we do have 7 qualified candidates who are going to, you know, and I'm hoping things start to heat up a little bit here, because frankly, I've been a little bit surprised at the lack of activity and the lack of you know, kind of much noise coming from these campaigns. There's been a lot of forums. There's been a lot of events going on throughout the campaign. We haven't seen TV ads yet, just yet, where those mailers aren't going out. You know, I think Francesca Hong's campaign has been the buzziest on social media by far. And that's part of why I wanted to look into it more. But I think overall, you know, we saw there was some news last week that Sarah Rodriguez and her campaign and David Crowley and his campaign were making some ad buys with some connected groups. But I think, you know, they got to do something now, because I think once, you know, once we get past the school year and into the summer, people aren't paying attention to day-to-day news perhaps as much. They're going on vacation, doing other stuff. You know, we've got less than 90 days now between now and the August 11th primary. Let's get going here.
They're trying to outbore each other.
Well, and I think too is like you know it's the summertime. It's school's out. It is people planning vacations, people living their lives. But also on top of that, other elections. People are going to start getting those mailers, and when people start getting those mailers, those calls, those commercials, they start to tire of that in very, very fast. And when eight people want to delineate themselves, it's going to be even harder. So yeah, I mean, the fact there just isn't some basic stuff out there, I was very surprised at. And I wonder if they're all sitting there going, no, you first, no, you first, no, you go first, like very Wisconsin polite, like, no, you can go ahead. But we only have about a minute before we got to get out of here for the news. You know, with regard to the election, is there anything that's really, like, you know, making you take notice as far as Wisconsin election, whether it's the governor's race or, you know, one of these more local races that we should be keeping our eye on that you're seeing that's really interesting you?
What do I have, like 20 seconds for that? No, I think over the big picture, the big picture of the opportunity that this year presents, I think, is really the main story. The first open race for governor in 16 years. Mm-hmm. We've got the first opportunity for first time a fully post gerrymandered maps election in the Senate and the Assembly. And I think there's so often, you know, political movements, when they happen, I think they start in Wisconsin. I think so often Wisconsin is a preview for the rest of the country. And I think it's a really a unique opportunity for Wisconsin voters to have a say here.
Great. That is the voice of Mr. Dan Schaefer, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Check out his work at recombobulationarea.news. We will put that in the show notes so you guys can check it out. Subscribe to the newsletter as well. You will not regret it. It's great local reporting that is very much award-winning. So check it out. Dan, thank you so much for being here. I hope you have a very fantastic weekend.
Thanks, fellas. Be well.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you very much. All right, when we come back, we'll be talking about the question of the night. What is the summer food that you are looking forward to most? Taking your texts, your calls, getting your opinions here on Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Stay tuned.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.